Hello there, and thank you for joining us for our Anchored podcast today. I'm Kaylin Goble of the Military Families Learning Network Family Development Team. Our MFLN FD team created this podcast as a space to discuss and learn about topics and challenges families are facing today. In each episode, we have conversations especially relevant to service providers working daily with military families and within military communities. Anchors throughout history have been a symbol of stability and groundedness. We hope our episodes provide you with a bit of respite to think about how the topics discussed in our conversations can influence, improve, and strengthen both your professional and personal growth. So we invite you to sit back, relax, and get anchored with us today as we explore a new resource for educating and empowering professionals assisting those impacted by traumatic brain injury. In this episode, I am joined by my MFLN family development colleague, Jason Jowers, for a conversation with Courtney Sadler and Kristen Benson. They will join us today to discuss their work at the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence and the TBI COE's newest caregiver guide. Courtney and Kristen speak more to their roles within the TBI COE, but for those who are not familiar with the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence, it is a collaborative effort with the Department of Defense and Veterans Affairs, promoting state of the science care from point of injury to reintegration for service members, veterans, and their families to prevent and mitigate consequences of mild to severe traumatic brain injury. They provide TBI clinical tools, educational resources, and research information. Their website reads, quote, TBI COE supports, trains, and monitors service members, veterans, family members, and providers who have been or care for those who are affected by traumatic brain injury. TBI COE works at a macro level, screening and briefing troops heading into theater, performing pre-deployment provider training at military treatment facilities, gathering data mandated by Congress and DoD, and overseeing research programs. TBI COE develops educational materials for both military and civilian providers, families, service members, and veterans. The DoD has further solidified TBI COE's role by naming it the Office of Responsibility for the Creation and Maintenance of a TBI Surveillance Database, the creation and distribution of the Family Caregiver Curriculum, and the design and execution of a 15-year-long longitudinal study on the effects of TBI in Operations Iraqi and Enduring Freedom service members and amongst their families. You can find out more on TBI COE, as well as view their vast library of evidence-based resources at www.health.mil, which is the official website for the military health system. If you go to the homepage and look under topics at the very top of the page, you will see the Center of Excellence listed once you hover over that. And once you click on that, you'll see all the different military health system centers of excellence that have been established by the Department of Defense to provide this knowledge and evidence-based practices for providers working with families, as well as the families themselves. This is our first collaboration with the TBI COE team, so we are very happy to welcome them onto our MFLN to highlight their extensive resources and information that they provide for families impacted by traumatic brain injury. And we also look forward to continuing this collaboration with a webinar entitled Interactive Self-Care Workshop for Military and Veteran TBI Caregivers, in which Kristen and Courtney, as well as their colleague Gabriella Ryan, will join us to speak about TBI and the impact on caregivers, as well as identifying needs, self-care strategies, and resources for caregivers. We know that it is important to recognize the emotional, physical, and financial toll that can be associated with caregiving. And this webinar will provide education and insights into specific TBI caregiver resources, common concerns, self-care strategies, and current research, as well as being joined by the TBI COE team to identify best practices to improve caregiver quality of life. We are glad to be joined by these representatives of the TBI COE team to further dive into their new and continuously evolving work and resources.
Hi, Kristen and Courtney. Thanks for joining us today and telling us all there is to know about TBI COE, the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence. And we're glad you guys could be with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having us. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, great. If I could just start out, if both of you want to share a little bit about your background, your personal work, what led you to your current roles at TBI COE and kind of what we can look forward to in this upcoming episode.
Yeah, of course. I'll get started. My name is Kristen Benson. I'm the regional education coordinator for the National Capital Region, as well as Great Lakes, which is over by Chicago. I'm a licensed social worker in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I earned my master's in social work at the University of Pennsylvania in 2020. During my time there, I was really fortunate to be a Cohen Scholar, which means that I specialize pretty specifically in veteran and active duty service member behavioral health. I completed my advanced year practicum with Philadelphia VA Polytrauma Team, which is the TBI Treatment Center in Philly. Prior to graduate school, I was a Navy Corpsman. I served the duration of my career aboard Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. When I'm not in my role as an REC with TBI COE, I work as a psychotherapist in private practice, which is something that has been really helpful to me actually with my role in TBI COE. I'm able to learn a lot and also be able to kind of integrate that into how I translate some of our trainings to the civilian population and also to caregivers. So that's been really inspiring, and that's kind of my focus, I guess, for the next year.
Yeah, thank you, Kristen. So my name is Courtney. I'm the regional education coordinator for Central Virginia, as well as the Tidewater region. Now, I'm a recreation therapist as well as a certified brain injury specialist by training, and I received my master's of public health from George Washington University last year. So some of my focuses there were on social, behavioral, and community health. I also worked on a mobility management project while I was there with veterans with PTSD, depression, and TBI. I've also spent time working with first responders for interventions focusing on PTSD awareness, social support, and suicide prevention strategies. So some of my interests lie in holistic care and improving quality of life for veterans and service members with TBI, as well as their loved ones. So today we're really excited to share a little bit more about the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence, as well as some of our resources, specifically honing in on our newly revised caregiver guide.
Absolutely. Just to reiterate that, you guys' organization has a plethora of resources out there. Can you explain a little bit about the needs for these resources and the reach that some of these resources can have?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start by kind of talking a little bit more about TBI COE. So the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence, or TBI COE for short, we're part of the DHA J9 Research and Development Directorate. So we're the TBI Pathway of Care Manager within the Military Health System, or MHS, and we promote state-of-the-science care from point of injury to reintegration for service members, veterans, and their families, to prevent and mitigate any sort of consequences of mild to severe traumatic brain injury or TBI. So we work at the macro level, screening and briefing troops that are heading into theater. We also perform pre-deployment provider training at military treatment facilities, as well as gathering data that's mandated by Congress and the Department of Defense and overseeing some research programs.
Yeah, to add to that, TBI COE, we also maintain a really robust TBI surveillance database, which helps us sort of get an idea of what that need actually is. We have also created and distributed the TBI family caregiver curriculum, which really aligns with that congressional study, the 15-year study, if you're familiar with that. We designed and executed a longitudinal study of the effects of TBI in Operation Iraqi and Enduring Freedom with service members and their families. We were providing research infrastructure across TBI research network sites. We conduct and support military relevant gap-driven TBI clinical research to address knowledge and treatment gaps within the MHS. Our clinical affairs team, they work to further advance TBI care and standardized care delivery by assisting in the development of clinical practice guidelines and clinical recommendations. So like I said, we conduct TBI surveillance, evaluate prevalence, we analyze outcomes and conduct assessments to inform MHS about need and the impact of TBI. One of those examples is that we always provide updated worldwide numbers for TBI located on our website that's available to anyone. We update this quarterly. We provide a further breakdown of TBI diagnosis per service branch, which is really helpful so that each one of the individual service branches have a better idea kind of what that need is and where those populations are. And of course, our dissemination team, of which Courtney and I are a part, we work to provide evidence-based TBI knowledge translation through our educational programs, through the resources that we have, through training our providers, and having activities along the care continuum from prevention all the way to the recovery of TBI.
And lastly, I'm just going to hop in here. We do have a team of regional education coordinators, or RECs for short. Both Kristen and myself are RECs. And essentially what we do, we're skilled TBI communicators and educators who help promote the TBI COE mission by providing educational materials and training on awareness, prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and management of TBI-related issues. So we're really the front-facing staff of TBI COE, as well as some of our outreach efforts to provide education and training tools to healthcare providers, to military leadership, to service members, veterans, families, and civilian communities. So we work collaboratively within a designated geographic region, providing educational opportunities for providers, service members, and their families.
Wow, you guys really run the gamut of getting that education out to everyone, like especially folks, boots on the ground that are, you know, these mental health service professionals that are working right alongside with clients and families. So yeah, if you guys don't mind, could you discuss a little bit about TBI-COE's system of services? So like the care and the resources specifically for families, and then there are any kind of separate resources you provide for providers, you know, those that work specifically with military families?
Yeah, absolutely. TBI COE, we had shifted our focus for a while to provider training, and we really are that sort of macro and kind of overarching organization that is watching TBI numbers, and you know, we're really integrated within the MHS. We do provide a lot of resources to the families because we know that TBI rehabilitation is not really a linear process. It's a very complicated network, and TBI affects, you know, the whole service member. It affects, you know, the entire family. So a lot of what we do is we prepare the MHS so that they can provide access to care to the service members and veterans. So some of that primary access and the multidisciplinary therapies include NICO, the Intrepid Spirit Sites, and the VA Polytrauma System of Care. In general, the site at which a service member or a veteran can seek care is related to their TRICARE and VA eligibility. TBI treatment in the MHS includes four categories. So it spans from inpatient, very intensive inpatient therapies, and then all the way out to outpatient care. So we can have intensive outpatient care services, or it can be as simple as, you know, a walk-in clinic for someone who might have, you know, a very mild concussion. So we provide full spectrum TBI severity to acute concussion. We also provide lots of referrals and oversight. The latter typically will include primary care and case management services, which can be pretty intensive, particularly with the VA. So beginning in 2007, all post 9/11 vets who present to the VA for care or screen for possible mild traumatic brain injury during that initial visit to the VA facility.
So TBI-COE, we also offer a variety of educational information and resources to help patients and their families learn about mild, moderate, severe, or penetrating TBI, as Kristen was talking about. So all of these resources, they're available on our website, and some of the topics include signs and symptoms, coping and recovery, as well as prevention of a traumatic brain injury. So through fact sheets, booklets, and guides, these service members, veterans, their families, and caregivers, they can learn about the common challenges experienced after sustaining that traumatic brain injury. So whether you're a service member, family member, or a healthcare provider, there are resources for you, all of which are available on our website. Now, specifically for those DOD military healthcare providers, these regional education coordinators, we also offer trainings on some of our clinical recommendations and clinical tools, like the Military Acute Concussion Evaluation 2, as well as the Progressive Return to Activity, or PRA, which are available on our website as well.
Thanks so much, Courtney. And definitely one of the resources that we wanted to highlight and discuss with you both is the Caregiver Guide, which is a very comprehensive resource that your team offers. And I know it is the second edition that y'all recently released is focused on the traumatic brain injury, a guide for caregivers of service members and veterans. So if you can talk us through a little bit about that guide and what that looks like for professionals and those hoping to utilize these guides and these resources. And like you said, these very comprehensive handouts and information that is, you know, research and based in that data that y'all are continuously working on gathering and applying in your work.
Absolutely. And this is a product that both Kristen and I absolutely love to talk about. So TBICOE, they recognize that caregivers are integral members of the recovery care team and support patients in the healthcare setting as well as in the home. So the 2021 Traumatic Brain Injury, a guide for caregivers of service members and veterans, is a recovery support tool to assist caregivers of service members and veterans who have sustained a TBI at any severity level. So it's an easy to navigate interactive PDF, which is accessible from a smartphone, tablet, or computer. So this 2021 revision replaces the original guide, which was released in 2010. The newly revised guide adds content on mild traumatic brain injury to previous information for moderate, severe, and penetrating TBI severities. So it updated information on intimacy and co-occurring conditions like PTSD, substance misuse, and suicide with supportive subject matter experts from other DHA centers of excellence, as well as the Department of Veteran Affairs. So the TBICOE 15-year studies and caregiver family member study findings have informed some of these revisions along with an end user work group. So providers should recommend this guide to caregivers for additional information on TBI and how to support their service members, particularly those with new diagnoses. So the guide can help the caregiver understand some of the clinical terminology used by providers and empower them to advocate for their service member.
Great. And I think that's one of the key things that we're very excited for our audience to hear about is that, you know, preparing and better educating oneself and, you know, the families and children that they're working with to have that language and be able to have those discussions, which are oftentimes very hard for even the person experiencing that to, you know, comprehend and deal with, let alone the family members. So it sounds like a very extensive resource that covers so much of that and will help so much within this topic area for those, you know, assisting and providing services for those experiencing TBI.
Yeah. And leading into that, you know, like Kaylin just said, you know, this is the nature of TBI is it's more of a systemic nature. It not only affects the military service member or one parent or anything like that, it affects the entire family, you know, spouses and kids and, you know, even extended family, the community. So can you guys discuss the systemic nature of TBI and kind of what that looks like, what the care looks like overall?
Yeah, of course. So TBI can have some really enduring and far-reaching influences on the family quality of life, and that includes sort of those psychosocial and socioeconomic factors. TBI severity also can really influence the degree to which those factors are felt. Survivors of severe TBI may experience some pretty profound behavioral functional changes that will increase their reliance on their caregivers. We do know that caregivers spend upwards of 10 hours in the caregiving role, and that tends to be kind of relative to the severity of that TBI. And they help with all of the tasks of daily living, and sometimes that can really take away from sort of their ability to care for themselves because their focus is so heavily on, you know, the family member or that spouse. TBI in general can affect the way a person behaves, the way they communicate, the way they interact with the outside world. And so obviously that affects pretty much every aspect of a person's life. It affects job performance, ability to maintain their family roles, relationships, how they feel about themselves. All of these factors impact the entire family system and puts added pressure and stressors on the family. So it's critical that patients and their family are provided lots of education. It's really important that we normalize for them and we provide as many resources as possible that span pretty much the entire spectrum of sort of that biopsychosocial model. So, you know, what are the social implications of having TBI? Do they need, you know, federal support services? Do they need counselors to help them kind of work out some of those interpersonal stressors? And it's helpful to do that throughout the process of TBI. It's helpful for them to know how those symptoms are going to present in everyday life. So it's really imperative, and TBICOE has prepared this guide now that is extraordinarily comprehensive. I'm a social worker myself. I've worked with TBI patients for a long time now, and this guide, to me, from a clinical perspective, is just incredibly robust. It's very thorough. And it's really kind of very clearly taken a look at what TBI survivors and their families face on a day-to-day basis and really tries to answer some of those questions and provide real, usable, practical, actionable, understandable support.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing, especially with MFLN's audience. Our primary audience are professionals that work with military families, you know, in a mental health capacity. So anything that is application-based, you know, something that can not just educate, but give you the tools to work with a family and family members is some of the most important stuff and resources we can share. So yeah, I think this caregiver guide is one of these great examples of a tool that somebody can take and put right to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interactive. So, you know, if they don't want to print a copy, the caregiver guide, it's almost 200 pages. It might be a little bit more. I forget the exact number, but it's a pretty sizable document, but people can access it online as well. And it's hyperlinked, which is great because, you know, if someone sees something of interest, they don't have to flip to that page. All they have to do is click on it and it will take them, you know, right to that particular section. And from a clinical perspective, it really saves a lot of time. So for example, we're talking about, you know, those providers who are kind of those boots on ground, case managers, behavioral health providers, and counselors. This guide saves them a good deal of time doing the psychoeducation piece, and it also helps them to send something home so that that person can remember what they've talked about, right? Because, you know, we're stressed out sometimes, or we have lots of things to remember. We have lots of things on our plate. We don't always remember the conversations that we have, but when they're able to take something like that home, they can go back and reference it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So do you guys mind discussing some of the emergent areas of need for military service members impacted by TBI? So what is the current and recent research saying, and what are some of the current best practices that mental health professionals can use in their work?
Well, I think that some of the things that we've revised recently, one of them is our sleep guide, which is absolutely paramount as a behavioral health provider myself in practice. You know, I know it's really important that we are monitoring people's sleep, that they're getting healthy sleep. We know that sleep is really restorative and that that can be an issue with people who are survivors of TBI. So we did recently release a revised sleep clinical recommendation, which is available for any type of provider. It's kind of focused on primary care, but it's actually really easy, digestible information. And it actually provides a lot of information that one can use for psychoeducation. So for example, sleep hygiene, right? These are things that, you know, clinically speaking, we can provide a fact sheet to a patient and they're able to say, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm not going to sleep early enough, or maybe I'm trying to go to sleep too early and, you know, I'm tossing and turning in my bed, or, you know, maybe I need to limit my screen time before bed. So, you know, that fact sheet is something that we've worked on, as well as the clinical recommendation. In addition, we did release the PRA, which at first may not seem like it's something that's applicable within sort of the behavioral health community, but the PRA does provide kind of an oversight of what TBI treatment looks like, what are some of the expected symptoms. And then also, if I'm presenting, for example, the caregiver guide, or I'm doing warfighter brain health training with behavioral health providers, I will sort of point out some of the symptoms and the symptom profile of TBI so that they can kind of see the difference, right? If someone is presenting to them with maybe they've got symptoms of anxiety, they've got elevated scores on a PHQ-9 or a GAD-7, maybe look to see if they have that TBI history. And I will kind of help to like differentiate for them what are some of those symptoms that could be only behavioral health or something that might be kind of more in the realm of TBI and where that intersection actually is. So I think that it's important for providers to know what the treatments are, like PRA, the progressive return to activity. Was this person put into a progressive return to their daily activities, or was that treatment kind of truncated? And are there some residual challenges that are still there affecting maybe their behavioral health concerns, right? So maybe things like aggression, for example, maybe things like impulsivity. So that's helpful. That's also available on our website. We're happy to teach that to providers. Also, some of the research that's coming out now, you know, we just released the 11th year report to Congress. And so that has a lot of really great information about co-occurring challenges within service members. So for example, TBI and how the rehabilitation of TBI is kind of modulated by things like PTSD, by things like depression. We also know that caregivers, for example, are really, really calling out for things like community or education. We've really tried to answer that with our caregiver guide. We have gotten a little bit more specific with some of our family resource lines. So it was before kind of we had, you know, talking to children about TBI and, you know, taking care of yourself, but we're going back. We're refining some of those resources. We're talking really candidly about some really important topics that we weren't necessarily before. We're going to be releasing an intimacy fact sheet. So something that like is really digging into how can we improve marital relationships or, you know, spousal relationships with survivors of TBI and their caregivers. We're releasing another one that is building up families. We're talking about, you know, really great communication strategies. And also, you know, in general, how are we dealing with TBI as a family? You know, we're looking at, again, federal programs that are available to caregivers. So for example, things like Family Medical Leave Act, so FMLA, the ADA. So those are just a few of the things, and how that's applicable really to these behavioral health providers is being able to look at each unique case and saying, okay, these are the things that I think are going to help. And these are all of the tools that I have that I can either pull information from and then translate it to you, or this is where I can direct you very specifically. And what's beautiful about kind of what TBI-COE has done is that it's all kind of in one place. So we're kind of limiting that confusion. We're limiting the difficulty of navigating all of these systems, and we're making that information accessible, which is really important.
I really appreciated that note, Kristen, that you made in terms of the work that y'all are doing, you know, at a federal level and within those entities and working together to get on the same page in terms of providing those services and that language and taking that stigma out of it and allowing for that language and those conversations to be had and equipping providers and families and communities with these ideas and practices and ways to best support those impacted by this. Because as we said, it's not just that individual who's impacted, it's also their partner or, you know, whoever is in their family, each of their family members, the children and the community. So even if those impacts, as y'all are saying, are smaller or larger or more, you know, difficult to deal with, having this caregiver guide and all these resources that y'all provide that allow for every provider to be able to have that language and equip themselves with those different strategies and tools and how to best support based on that research that y'all are doing within the community of those impacted.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think you made a really good point there in saying a similar language that providers are speaking. That's critical within interdisciplinary teams that we're all kind of like, we're all bringing our specialties in together and maintaining that uniqueness, but also being able to speak to each other in a way that makes this like very cohesive kind of comprehensive treatment plan and approach. So that's a great point.
I also like the piece that you spoke on about co-occurring challenges and that how, you know, you basically have to go on a case-by-case basis with each TBI patient and each family because it looks differently family to family. And, you know, we use the term or hear the term, you know, invisible wounds of war, and TBI isn't something that's oftentimes super recognizable. A lot of people wouldn't necessarily be able to look at someone and say, hey, that person has TBI and could be having some of these co-occurring challenges that go along with that and not really knowing. I think that piece is also very important to explaining to primarily kids some of the emotional and mental pieces that come with TBI for them to fully understand, like, kind of what's going on with mom or dad and have a little more education on that piece. So I really like what you said about all that. And I know, you know, Kristen, you said in particular, you have a social work background. For this, for both of you, if you have any stories or, you know, possible case examples that you guys can share on how these resources can be used by professionals to help clients or how you've used it in your work, families and parents and children.
Yeah, I could chatterbox about social work all day. I'm really passionate about social work. I went into social work with a purpose. So it's definitely something that, you know, I could speak to all day. And in this role, the RECs are educators, both for providers, service members, their families, like this varied population. So it's a little different working for TBI-COE than it is being a case manager and working kind of in that clinical role. I do have stories kind of from, you know, when I was working with polytrauma. In fact, I think both myself and Courtney worked with polytrauma teams. So I think at this point, a lot of my stories are more to do with how I'm equipping providers and also their family members to deal with TBI and to have a better quality of life and to enable their patients to have better qualities of life. So that's kind of my mission. That's kind of my mission now.
Yeah, absolutely. Background for me, I have a master's in marriage and family therapy. So I have a little bit of therapy, you know, background there. So yeah, I get what you mean about talking shop and all that. And primarily here, you know, the family development team is out of Valdosta, Georgia, and we have a Air Force base right outside of town. So the clinic that I worked at, there were a lot of folks that came in from the Air Force base, and we got a lot of military service members from there and families. So I probably, you know, have seen a lot of similar cases to you in that therapy realm.
Yeah, I think that now my social work background is very much about integrating what I know from being a social worker, from my training as a social worker, and also being in the military, integrating all of that knowledge into how we're getting our trainings across, the way that we teach them, the language that we use, how, you know, we kind of shift just even the tone and the meter of your speech and the language that you use for each one of those trainings so that it's really making your population kind of feel at home, depending on who you're talking to, right? And so I guess in a broader sense, social work is very much about, you know, addressing barriers and, you know, creating accessibility, building inclusivity into everything that we do and making sure that everybody's got an equal shot at the same, you know, treatment and education and information and opportunities and resources, right? So I think that's probably been one of the most important parts of my social work training is learning to integrate that into absolutely everything I do, and particularly how I conduct trainings and how I get people excited, to like use our resources, and, you know, saying, look, you know, this is our caregiver guide. It's super comprehensive. It's going to teach, you know, your clients an absolute ton. It's going to normalize in ways that you as a singular provider may not be able to, you know, it has, you know, these great stories from other caregivers. And, you know, we know from the 11th year report that that's something that caregivers were asking for. They want community, you know, they want to know that their experiences are normal and that other people are feeling it too. And so as a single provider, you might not be able to do that, but when you hand them this resource and say, here, take a look at this, then you're providing that for them.
Absolutely. I think that's a huge piece too, is the community piece of families knowing they're not alone in their own personal struggle, that there are others out there that are going through very similar things.
Courtney's really great at getting people like amped and excited. She's like a major like hype woman for all of these trainings, and she maintains like, Courtney's just like very like, she has this really incredible attitude about just like everything, and she's very like bubbly, and I think when she presents, a lot of times that kind of like, that kind of creeps its way into the people that are getting trained. So I love partnering with Courtney because she just like gets people like amped about our trainings, about, you know, doing new and exciting things. How are we gonna, you know, take the same information and re-engineer it in a way that is new and reaches new populations. So just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Yes, I think the passion that y'all have for this work and the work that you've done both on the ground and also like just from the research standpoint is reflected in the resources that y'all provide, your whole entire team. And that's why we're very excited to get this information out to our community and let them know that this is out there for them, and it is curated and created specifically for their work with families each day. And as Jason said, in every single community that there is that military connection, and, you know, with families and all around, it may not be obvious or we may not know necessarily the stories of each of the families, but, you know, those impacts are there within each of our communities, each of our school systems, each of our social circles and to be able to support those around us and just educate. So I just wanted to chime in and say, I so appreciate the work that y'all are doing in providing those services and that information and working at a federal level to get everyone on the same page as possible to provide that care.
Well, thank you. We definitely feel likewise about you all over there with MFLN and appreciate this partnership and everything that's to come.
Yes. And with that, we do have an upcoming webinar that we will be having soon with you all. Kristen and Courtney, you both spoke a little bit to this earlier regarding that, you know, mindfulness and things that we don't necessarily maybe traditionally see as self-care, like making sure you get the proper sleep that allows you to go about the day and just things that we don't necessarily think about as being that important, sleep and, you know, downtime or, you know, being mindful and each day and having that time for oneself. But we will be joined by you all again in an upcoming session with our military caregiving team of MFLN. And on that webinar, that will be you presenting the interactive self-care workshop for military and veteran TBI caregivers. So providing that education and insight for TBI caregivers and those resources and the common concerns that are within those communities and the strategies for self-care as they're providing those services and that support. And as we've spoken to, the current research and best practices to improve the quality of life for caregivers and thus for the families and individuals impacted. So we're very much looking forward to that. And as we speak a little bit to the resources that you have also for families and focused on children, and I know that your team has, like, for example, the back to school guide for academic success after TBI and things like that, talking about, you know, tackling those, you know, going back to school, which is something that you may not think of, but is very, you know, it completely shifts when you experience a TBI or are impacted. So if you guys could speak a little bit more to some other resources that you think our audience may find particularly valuable, and we can also make sure to include anything that we mention for our audience to easily have access to and find on your website.
Yeah, absolutely. We would be more than happy to do that. And since you mentioned the back to school guide, we'll go ahead and kind of start with that one. So all the resources that I mentioned, these are going to be available on our website as well. But if we start with that back to school guide, this is a booklet that provides guidance to service members and veterans who have ongoing symptoms from a traumatic brain injury and who plan to, you know, go back to college, university, or even attend a vocational school. So it's going to give answers to common questions about accommodation plans, financial aid, as well as assistive technology if that's needed as well. So we offer free patient fact sheets that, once again, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but this will provide further education as well as management strategies on some of the most common symptoms after TBI. So tips to promote healthy sleep, mood regulation, and strategies to reduce headaches. Now, for caregivers and family members, we're currently in the process of revising our caregiver supplementary line, and this is going to include resources on intimacy after TBI, how to create strong family ties, as well as the importance of caregiver self-care. We've been kind of talking about that a little bit throughout our podcast today. Additional supports will include the TBI Family Podcast, as well as a quarterly virtual education series. So let's kind of start by talking a little bit about this TBI Family Podcast. Now, this is something that launched in November 2016. It's a series for caregivers of service members and veterans with a traumatic brain injury. I personally really love this resource. It's one of my favorites. Some of the different topics that are discussed in here is going to include, you know, irritability and anger, the importance of advocacy, relationships, as well as a TBI pathway of care and that caregiver journey. So each episode will offer information, resources, and tips for caregivers, as well as share some caregiver stories that Kristen was talking about a little bit earlier and how they were requesting those. So it's a really important piece. Now, you can access the podcast on our website or wherever you go to get your podcast. This past July, I do want to mention that TBI COE, we started this quarterly education series, and we started it as a three-day virtual webinar for caregivers and family members who are caring for a loved one with a traumatic brain injury. Now, as a follow-up for that, we are continuing this initiative actually next month in November. It's going to be a one-day event that's focused on improving communication strategies and addressing intimacy after TBI. So all caregivers, family members, and spouses of a service member or veteran with TBI, as well as healthcare support professionals, are absolutely welcome to attend. And you can find further information listed on our website if you go to https://health.mil/TBI COE.
Great. And we'll make sure to link that as well on this episode's event page so that our audience can find that easily accessible.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And we also have a flyer for that we're happy to share with you all.
Perfect. Yes, we'll also be happy to include that on the link that on the page as well.
Appreciate it.
Great. And speaking of finding those resources and everything, which we definitely recommend if you haven't already, at this point, getting on the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence website and just looking at the plethora of resources that are out there. And specifically, if you're needing support or wanting more background on a certain topic or area of focus that you see in your work, getting on their website and just delving into that and seeing the resources that they offer that can assist in supporting. And as we kind of wrap up the conversation, are there any suggestions that y'all have for our audience to connect with your team, maybe via social media or if you have a newsletter? I know you mentioned the series that is coming up and y'all definitely have a lot of events that, you know, caregivers as well as service professionals and providers can attend or be a part of and learn more about what is in the community as well, a larger community in terms of this, you know, support community and finding new resources that are out there and emerging. So do y'all have any outlets that we could refer our audience to stay connected with you maybe on a daily basis or get that information as those events are announced? And we definitely want to make sure that our audience are familiar with how to get access to that.
The page you all can visit, that's going to be Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence. Now, I also encourage you to visit our website. I know we've been talking about it quite a bit today. If you haven't already visited it, we definitely encourage you to do so, to download some of our resources. If you are interested in connecting with a regional education coordinator in your region, if you're interested in any further resources about TBI, or even some of those trainings or educations that we were talking about a little bit earlier, you can contact our mailbox. That's going to be dha.ncr.j-9.mbx.tbicoe-education@mail.mil. And we'd be happy to connect with you all a little bit further.
Lovely. Thanks so much. And again, all of those links, as well as all of the specific resources that we've spoken about today, will be available on the event page for the session. So we invite you to give that a look, as well as go on the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence website and look into those resources. And if you have any additional questions, for sure follow up with that email that Courtney just provided. So thank you all today for your time and for discussing the work. And we look forward to having you join us for that November 30th webinar on the Interactive Self-Care Workshop for Military and Veteran TBI Caregivers. And having you join us again to continue this conversation on identifying needs and providing resources for our community and the work that they do. Thank you both for your time today, Kristen and Courtney, and we look forward to continuing on speaking with you and into next year as we continue to develop and provide these resources and let our audience know how to best connect with your teams and navigate all of the amazing resources that y'all have.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. I think that the MFLN organization is an incredible, incredible organization, and we really look forward to building that partnership.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you all so much. We really appreciate this opportunity. We're really excited about that webinar on November 30th, as well as continuing some of these conversations. So thank you again.
And thank you all again for joining us for this episode of Anchored. We hope you will also join us as we welcome back Kristen and Courtney, as well as their colleague Gabriella, for our next webinar. And if that has passed by the time you listen to this episode, an archived recording will also be made available, and we will continue our collaboration on into 2022. So connect with us and stay tuned as we work towards announcing those session details. Once more, we encourage you to visit our website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org for more information, including information on obtaining continuing education credits for today's episode and additional resources from our conversation. You can also listen to more podcast episodes from our FD team and other MFLN teams on iTunes, as well as on our website. And you can listen to our Military Families Learning Network network literacy teams, Practicing Connection in a Complex World podcast. That is available on iTunes as well as our MFLN website. Practicing Connection in a Complex World is a podcast exploring the personal stories and collective practices empowering us to work together to help each other, our families, and our communities improve our resilience and readiness in a rapidly changing world. That podcast is hosted by our MFLN colleagues, Jessica Beckendorf and Bob Birch. We would also love to hear from you. So like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and let us know your thoughts on today's discussion or any of our other programming. And from all of us at the Military Families Learning Network, thank you for sitting back and getting anchored with us today. This MFLN FD production is based upon work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense, under award number 2019-48770-30366.